good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Lou Ann Linekin, and I'm with my co-host,
James Rich.
Your co-host, too, who's ever listening. So it's our co-host for Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, and we're live most of the time on Fridays at 5 from WCNO. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about step two, which is we came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. And one of the things that we talk about is that anything outside of God's will is not of sound mind. It's our own thinking. It's our own way of coming up with solutions. And they will never succeed in the long run. They may give us temporary relief at times, but they won't be the solution, the true solution, the liberty that God talks about and the freedom that we get when we are obedient to his way and his will. So in step two, it says we came, meaning we already have some kind of awakening that God is the solution, the only solution. Because the first one is we admit we're powerless over a situation, alcohol or whatever it is that we're struggling with or that is causing us difficulty in our life, stress, fear, anxiety, unforgiveness, those things that we are dealing with and that our lives become unmanageable. So step two is now that we came to understand, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, we can now start to do step three is make a decision. And it says you must be born again. I wrote that in my notes because if you're not born again, what does it say? What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He said, you can't see the kingdom and you can't enter the kingdom. So how could I come to something if I don't even see it or know that it exists, right? I can't even enter it because I'm not qualified due to the fact that I believe Jesus is Christ's blood and his sacrifice paid the price for sin. If I'm always trying to work for it or if I feel like I'm not worthy, because I'll never be worthy, but he made us. He righteous. Made us righteous. He made us. And making us means created us righteously. So he brought us back into the original plan. And that's the spirit man. Back into the spirit place, which we should be leading and guiding. So I wrote some little things. Go ahead, James.
And when she's referring to that, it's in Romans, it says, chapter 5, by one man's disobedience,
yeah,
many were made sinners, and we have no problem with that because the enemy runs our mind. And yeah, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. But then when we get saved, it says, by one man's obedience, we were made righteous. And of course, the enemy gives us a hard time, like, what do you mean? I'm not righteous. Yeah. I'm not holy. You know,
who do you think you are, God?
Yeah, but he looks at
us
and he sees Jesus,
amen,
his blood, and it puts us righteous as in right standing with him. And that's why he says, come boldly before the throne. It's a bold prayer to get an answer when you're praying for people. Not the begging prayers of healing and stuff. It's when right. you just speak boldly, be healed.
And which leads me to 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says we walk by faith, not by sight, which is we walk by faith is the spiritual man, truth, our spiritual senses, heavenly senses, kingdom of God realm. Okay, because if we don't know the kingdom, I mean, we can be in spiritual realm even before we're born again, but it's demonic. The only way into the kingdom of God is by being born again. And then you see the kingdom of God realm, which is eternal goodness, you know? And it's not even in the spiritual realm. The enemy can disguise himself and make it look like goodness, but it really rots in the end.
A lot of occult stuff.
Yes.
Just raising up.
Exactly.
Makes it look wonderful, but it's not.
And we were talking about psychics and things like that too. Yep.
And there's even, you know, Jesus manifesting when it's not really even him. I mean, it's just getting, things are just turning up because we're coming into that revival and the power is going to turn up on both sides. The demonic side is going to turn up as God's side turns up.
Right.
So the way it's going to happen.
So the way I wrote it is we walk by spirit, not by the natural, which is our emotions, our senses, our natural senses. And when we, the feelings aren't facts. So we walk by truth, not by feelings. Feelings aren't always fact. So we can't rely on those things because that's the gateway for the enemy to get in, to your soul, mind, will, emotions, ideas, like your thoughts. So it's a vulnerable place if you're not believing by faith and bold. See, it takes that. It takes knowing. When you know that you know, you get the revelation, the resurrection revelation in your heart that everything is already supplied for you. The word of God is true. It is finished. Final. Yes and amen. That's it. When you can stand in that position, then you can boldly speak the word, walk the word, and rely on your spiritual senses. And that's where faith and hope and all that, the things that are unseen, come into more real than the things that are seen.
And it's, and there's a battle. That's why it says we wrestle not, because there is a wrestling, but you have to know when you're wrestling from a position that you've already been given.
Amen.
Not to get, you know what I mean? It's
and
like,
you're
yeah,
not fighting to win. To, you won, and you need to just stand
the
in
battle's
there.
Been won, Amen. But we got little wars going.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
you would call that. Skirmishes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Little battles, big war. War is won. We get little battles along the way that we have to. And that's where testimony, right? The amen. Testing, the amen in our life. What is the, it is finished in your life. Is it the word of God? Is it what Jesus did for us? So like if I'm standing in that place and I'm believing that place, then I believe every situation that I go in, I have everything that I need. If it's feeling lack of love, I got all the love. If it's security, I have all this. He's gonna never leave me or forsake me. But I need to know his word, because in knowing his word is knowing him. And that's where the intimacy comes in. That's where I know this person, the Holy Spirit, that's with me, in me at all times. And he shows me Jesus, Father God, and who he is in the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So we walk by how we faith, not how we feel. I wrote these little things because after I'm walking, you know, because I read some scriptures or read something or I'll listen to something, and then all of a sudden he grows it. And I really do believe that we are gardens, and we could be a good garden or a bad garden. And our garden should always have access. Even though I went through something yesterday, I don't have anger or hate in my heart. I'm very disappointed, but I have to. It's a spiritual battle. I cannot close. I don't. So something happened yesterday where people revealed themselves in my life, and they're very not right thinking. They're very under the influence of demonic oppression, possession. And so how do I handle this? So I confronted the truth of the situation. And of course I was attacked, and that's okay. Right. I didn't lash back and fight word for word or anything. I stayed calm. They did their action. And I'm choosing today not to subject myself, only because it irritates them more than it does me. You know, when I'm around, you know, if they're seeing me as spending time with Jesus, screaming, "Why don't you go live with Jesus?" to a person, then they're threatened by goodness or what they perceive to be Jesus, in, you know, which is pretty odd. That has to be demonic, you know. So I am in a place now where exactly what I'm saying, I can't go by my feelings, and I am my garden. Every road should lead to a piece of land in the kingdom of heaven. My garden should be planted in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So I can't close off access points, but I don't have to leave my garden and start pulling people in. That's what I'm trying to process right now. How do I stay in that peaceful place and still have the ability to let people in if they choose to? You know, and that's, I think, what a lot of us struggle with, you know, because I can't put up walls. If I how do we say it in Kingdom Recovery? Don't put the bridge up, because your bridge might be the only bridge after they burn all of them that is left. And even though that kills them to go over it, which they need to be killed to go over it, then let it be, you know. So let your garden, your piece of land, your heart, in the kingdom of God, have full access for other people to be able to come in. Doesn't mean you have to run out and start grabbing people and force them in, or force yourself to own anyone into the
kingdom. Doesn't mean you let them abuse you.
Exactly.
We get offended so easy with the rejection these days. We call abuse like someone's pride, the way they're talking to us, when that shouldn't be hurting us if we're delivered.
Exactly. You know? And the other thing is, you know, yes, listen, boundaries. Sometimes they could be dangerous when we're putting up boundaries all around us, because we're isolating ourselves from probably the work of God, because that's the last thing he wants us to do, is try to, you know, but we don't want to be abused, is like what you're saying. So we have to be, if I'm walking with God, I don't have to worry about those things. If people come in and they're trespassing, I should be able to know in my heart how not to respond, so that I don't feed anger with anger or whatever it is. But if I'm not at that place where I can feel safe in Christ, in what I know about my relationship with God and that he will be there, then I probably should avoid engaging or anything like that with that, with those people. That's a healthy boundary, because I know I can't, when I'm in a place where I don't know how I'm going to handle it, that's when it's really a boundary to protect the other person from being hurt from me, basically.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what the whole unforgiveness thing is about, too. It's about somebody having aught with you. It's like we twist these things to kind of fit our purpose. But then when we think it through properly, it's like a boundary is really so that I don't hurt another person. If I need a boundary, because no one should be able to hurt me if I'm walking right. And I know who I am in Christ, you know. So, and we need to always declare the word over whatever it is that's trying to come at us. All right. So God wants us to walk by faith. Don't always have to hear or see or feel God to walk by faith, which is the beautiful thing. He's always with us. That's where faith, that's what faith is, knowing that. You know, sometimes we're always chasing miracles, chasing God's glory, chasing to see God, and we're missing it. Missing the his presence, because he's always with us. Hallelujah. So step two is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's, step one is recognizing Jesus as my Lord and Savior, becoming born again. And then step two is, now that I'm born again, I receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I have to cultivate my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Cultivate, we talked about gifts. This is fruit. This is up to me to water. God will grow it, but I have to daily attend to my garden. I can't expect other people to do it. And sometimes I have to invite other people into my garden when I'm having trouble with weeds. you know, you might have a good friend that has a really beautiful garden in that area. And you say, listen, I'm going to need help in this area because my roses don't look like your roses. Can you help me? Right?
Yeah, and I actually was writing something about that when I was sitting out there. Just because gifts are just given with a single impartation from God. And it's the power of God, supernatural. And the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated, like she says, it's grown. And I was saying how we fertilize our garden with the Word of God.
Amen.
To help us grow. And we pull the weeds out of our garden so our roots and our plants can get
healthy.
Yeah, and further
spread.
In. Yeah, where we pull the roots out of us of bitterness and jealousy and
right.
self-pity and all this stuff, rejection, and allows the Spirit of the fruits of the Spirit of God to grow more in our hearts.
Because we give more space.
Unfortunately, he usually deposits gifts, and I heard someone say it this way. Imagine an apple tree growing and you're fertilizing everything versus a Christmas tree and you just put an ornament on it. It's like God just deposits it and you got it. And unfortunately, that usually comes before the fruit's grown.
Mm-hmm.
So they make a lot of messes if they've got a lot of power in their gifts. And then pastors don't want them in their churches a lot. Like a lot of prophetic people, they make such messes before, and no one will help them because they don't want help because they're enjoying and they think they're the man, you know, because they're so gifted. So the fruit is cultivated, and usually after the gifts, unfortunately, seems like God would make us get ready and then give us the gifts. And that happens sometimes, but usually people just get a download of when they get filled with the Spirit or whatever gifting they're operating in. So we have to cultivate, as you said, the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. And that's daily. You know, there's a sanctification of our soul and our body, actually. You know, that's the two parts of our Trinity that need daily, I guess, water, food, you know, substance of things unseen, faith.
Yeah.
Right? And
the fruit is character.
Yes, amen. And we're going to talk about that, about what a seed is, the sperma, because we started there. And then, but we have to go back and really give information. So, because when we're armed with the truth, we can be free from the enemy, the lies that he tries to feed us. You know, so we came to be aware that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and that's righteous living sanity. It's Christ-minded. He's the only sound good thing in the world that we can rely on and trust to be true. Okay, there are things that can get close or mimic, but nothing is can replace him. And it even says that in 12-step literature, it says, and may you find him now, that one is God. The solution. There's no other higher power. So, and who is God to you? For the God of the word of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the God of the Bible. So we want to, that's, I believe, what, and I know for a fact that that's the AA Foundation started on, the God of the Bible. So, but because of the influence of the enemy, he can bring confusion and deception into what the original intent was. And I think that's what's happened in every area of the world, like in all things, finances, not only in 12-step programs, but in therapy, in medical fields, in everything. He has his hand in everything, the devil, the enemy, manipulating things because he wants to keep us from our identity in Christ. He wants to keep us from our relationship in Christ, with Christ, because that gives us the boldness and the power to step on serpents and to lay hands on the sick and to be delivered and to deliver others. And it gives us the liberty and freedom. Once we understand that and we stand on that, he no longer has any power over us or the situations in our life. And that's he doesn't care if we're going to heaven or hell. And James, you say that too. I mean, he doesn't. He cares about what we're doing here right now. You know,
anything you start moving this promoting the kingdom of God.
He doesn't want the kingdom. Exactly. It's about the kingdom for him.
I know a lot of people, you'll hear people say, you know, higher levels, greater devils. That's a true saying, but 99% of the time you hear that, it's people that are in sin, and that's why they're in so much trouble. It's just not really happening to them. So it's a very misclaimed thing, but it is actually true. You're going to have, if you're not doing anything and you're just cruising along and all of a sudden you realize you can pray for the sick, you start getting people out of wheelchairs, you start getting blind seeing, you start moving, then all of a sudden you start having crusades, you're going to get hit more, you know? But if you know to walk in holiness,
and it's
that's
not even you getting hit,
the Bible.
It's Christ in you. That's what who's after.
He's just not in the move of God.
Yeah. So we came to believe, and then it's a seed of God was planted in us when we said yes, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, which should be step one, right? To accept and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in our heart, our whole heart, soul, and body, intimately knowing him, saying, I'm going to follow him, not just head knowledge, but heart motivation to follow him. God's seed came inside of you, just like with Mary. The Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. The Holy Spirit impregnates us with the seed of God, the word of God, Jesus Christ, okay? And we have to cultivate that. We have to take care of and multiply and grow, give birth to the new man identity. Even though we're newborns, we're born into a kingdom, we have to grow up spiritually. So we start out as a seed, like sperm, right? Because seed is sperma inside, you know, and we get born again, and now we have to grow up. So the seed of God grows fruit of God too, the character of God. So we're going to grow up inside first, right, James? And then outside. If we don't take care and understand who we are in the inner man, in our inner place, in our heart, if our heart's not right, our fruit can't be right on the outside of the tree. And what are we sharing with people, right? So Genesis 1:11-12 says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herbs that yielded seed according to its kind, and the tree that yield fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the seed that gets planted in us is the seed of Christ. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And now we're going to grow our Christ tree in us. Hallelujah. We want to be in the image and likeness of God. If we're his children, we should look like him, sound like him, be like him.
Jesus wishes we be one with him as he is one with Father.
Amen.
Him, Father and him and us and him.
That's right. So it's Jesus in us that's actually manifesting out of us when we walk in the Spirit and
in love.
And in love and in when we're
God love.
When we're obedient to how God's calling us to be, if he says lay your hands on, he sees Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? So you choose what you sow, who, what, and where you want to be intimate with. Who do you, I know I was intimate with drugs, alcohol, relationship. You know, I was intimate with a lot of worldly things in my life, meaning I knew a lot about them and what they would do for me. Almost like, you know, I have to know God like that. Like I gave my care. Step three is turn your will and your life over to the care of God. I turned my will and my life over to the care of alcohol, drugs, money, men, women, success. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All those things was what I was turning my life and my will over. And I didn't even know. And you know, like, I'm going to be honest. I studied how to do certain drugs so that I wouldn't have to need another person so that I can do it for myself, you know? Because some things, you know, you had to cook some things, you had to prepare some things. And I didn't want to have to rely on another person. So I studied these things, you know, and it's the same thing in our relationship with God. I don't want to rely on, and I'm not mocking any religion, but the pastor or priest or my family on what they believe and what they're teaching me. I need to know for myself who he is. Because when I do uncleave and make a decision to be independent, who am I going to give my keys to? To my heart. God. You know? I gave it to lots of other things in my life. So we choose to be dominated by flesh or spirit. It's up to us. There's no coincidence why world and word are so close in their spellings, because we get to choose either the world or the word. Am I going to speak worldly things over situations, like maybe even diagnoses? Is that a word, diagnoses?
Yeah.
Oh, diagnoses, thank you. That's the New York Queens in me, diagnoses.
I had to think I might. I think it's right.
Instead of labeling things or accepting reports from people or accepting other people's truths, right? We have to know for ourselves.
A lot of what was spoken to us growing up.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It'll never amount to anything. You're just like,
amen.
You're going to be in prison the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's right.
Much of that comes to pass.
Yeah. And not only because of what it's spoken over you, because you're speaking it when you're thinking it about yourself, too. You know, you're giving legal right to the enemy. So Galatians 6:8 says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. So God tells us what the end result is going to be. But the one who sows to the spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. And that's what we want. We want eternal life. Rewards, benefits, promises of God. And in the 12 steps of 12-step programs, they talk about in those 12 steps, there are promises after each one, you know, and I have them here. So the first one's, you know, truthful honesty, developing honesty. That was a big one. Getting honest about myself, coming to myself about the denial that I was in, about who I really was, you know, and it says, and God. In confession, confession's a big thing. To be able to confess to someone is a humbling act. And the God rewards that and he blesses that. You know, and it says here that we admit that we are powerless. So we're confessing something, you know, finally. It's not like, I don't have a problem, you do, mind your own business anymore. It's like, oh my God, why do I keep getting into this place? You know, and that's the best place to be, actually. Hallelujah. All right, and then Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap steadfast love. So when we sow righteousness, we reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. It's his righteousness, hallelujah, in you. And Luke 8:9-15 says, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So whenever you're reading the word, being obedient to the word, you're cultivating, okay? And you're planting more seeds in your heart, okay? So sometimes when you go through something, and whether it's worry, fear, whether it's forgiveness, you find a word that you can throw at what's causing unforgiveness in your life, right? Or what's causing fear. You find a word. And you speak that word, and that's how you get through it. And you keep speaking that word, because love endures all things, right? It's patient, tolerant. So it's going to take some time. Well, you can't grow a tree full in one day. It takes time. Cultivate. That's why cultivating. And, you know, we say the God's testament, you know, testimony and all this, that means a test of our faith. It's testing God's word, not God testing us. He doesn't need to test us, but we have to walk and say, I'm going to rely on God's word with this. So we're testing the word. We're saying, no, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not going to believe that report. Hallelujah. All right. So now the parable says that the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And then the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But those have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. So that's the next level of, you know, we can get born again and then just walk away. That's the first one. You know, it's just we can hear the word, recite the word, but not really be born again. Just walk away and just do our own thing, even though we said a prayer. But we don't even think twice about it. Just because you said a prayer, right?
There's a ditch on both sides of the road because everybody's like, oh, you just say a prayer in America. But it does. I mean, that's how I got filled with the Spirit but I was really surrendering. And that was the day my life changed. And I've had people I pray with and a few months later, something drastic. And so it's actually is kind of inviting God. So I don't tell people not to.
Absolutely.
And I even do it on here.
Yeah.
I still
because you never know.
It, but it's
exactly.
The person's heart.
That's right. And maybe they're just not. Maybe that was just a little toiling of the soil.
Well, some people just do it because people are pressing them because they want them to do it. And they do it just to get someone off their back. Okay, right. I'll pray the prayer. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I say don't ever do that because the day may come when someone asks them, have you ever accepted? Like, yeah, I did that. You mm-hmm. know, even though now
and
they're
then,
ready,
right.
but they think, well, I already did that. I don't need to do mm-hmm. it. And they really need to ask the Lord in mm-hmm. their heart.
And that's why whenever it's offered, I say it anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just do. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
So, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So it's telling you right there that it's going to take time. So God can only grow good fruit in man. There's not a person, place, or thing that can grow good fruit inside of you and out of you. It's only God, okay? When we are disobedient, not being in agreement with God, God's word, seed, it grows bad fruit. When he says, are you a good tree? Are you a bad tree? Good fruit, bad fruit. That's what that is. Anything outside of goodness is not God. Okay? So it would be unholy, it's not God's kingdom, his fruit. So if you're disobedient, you cannot be growing good, healthy fruit in certain areas of your life. You just can't. Okay? So fruit of the Spirit is God's character. It's his love. It's who he is, all right? And it's going to he's going to manifest his, and when I say it, I'm talking about it being the character of who God is. So if it's love, if it's patience, it's him, but his character is what he's not it. It's part of who he is. So fruit of the Spirit is the virtues, attributes, character, and principles of God. What is virtue? Goodness, righteousness, behavior showing high moral standards. It's trait of moral excellence. Okay? Acting right, avoiding wrong. Attribute, quality, trait, a quality or feature regarding as a character or inherent part of someone or something. So it's part of who you are in Christ. Your fruit should be, right? And this is all fruit of the Spirit of God. Character, nature, mentality, the mental or moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So if my nature, if I'm allowing money to be my God, I'm going to be talking. Everything's always going to be leading and talking and mimicking money in my life. It always leads to money. when, you know, and that's going to be like, people will start to say, well, there's something going on with the, you know, that person, because we reveal ourselves when we talk, you know. And then I'm going to be accused. Usually when we're accusing everybody else of something, it's our stuff, you know.
Yeah, you actually see people, whatever spirits you deal with, like say you deal with pride, then someone else can, like say, get up in the church and do something. And you'll think of how you would feel doing that and the pride you would have doing it, and you'll accuse them of being pride when they may not be.
Right.
It's very common. You always search what you search think they're doing. Heart. Look for your own.
Amen.
Look for the thing you think you see in others. Look for that in yourself.
Amen. And principles is truth basis, a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. So virtue, attribute, character, principles of God. We want it all to lead to Christ Jesus, okay? His attributes, his virtues, his character, his principles. Because he only did as the Father instructed him to do. So God tells us to keep in step with the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16-24, it says, But I say, walk by the Spirit. And it means using your I looked up the word by because it says, but I say walk by, and it means of, to use by means of the Spirit. So using the aid of the Spirit, utilizing the Spirit. Okay, so now let me say it again. But I say walk by using the aid of the Spirit. I added that, by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, because you're obedient to them, you're walking in them. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Okay, so I usually tell people, and I did it for myself, I looked up every word here, because sometimes we think we know a word and we don't realize the real meaning of it, and maybe, you know, that's what I need to be doing, or that's what I am doing, and I got to not do that, you know, because we see it in a different light when we look up words and we see the true meanings of them. You know, there are some words here that I would say, no, that's not me, you know. But when you're looking in a spiritual sense, like idolatry, I would have thought like I had to be wearing, you know, black and a part of an organization. When I first came in here, I didn't realize idolatry was reading horoscopes or, you know, doing the things, tarot cards or Ouija boards. I didn't know that. I had to learn that. Okay. Idolatry is idolizing money, other people. Didn't understand that. I thought it meant like I had to dress up in black and be like a witch and go to the witchery hoo-hoo place. And then that made me doing that. I didn't know it was that subtle. Okay. Idolatry was, I collected God, women, goddess. You know, like, what is that? The one with all the snakes.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't know what his name is.
Well, like, Adidas, they were all women, Greek women, and I had to destroy them. I couldn't even give them away, and they were very expensive, but they were on my shelf. I didn't think twice about them. I just thought it was cool. Here I was. And then I started learning, No one told me, Lou, you got to go home and do that. The Holy Spirit did. Mm-hmm. You know, go wreck, like, I took a bat to them, smashed them. But that was the Holy Spirit led. Yeah. You know, he will teach you. You know, so that's why we want to spend time learning and growing with him. Hallelujah. So we got to remember that it's one fruit. Holy Spirit fruit, right, is singular. There are not nine different fruits of the Spirit, but rather one ninefold fruit of the Spirit. These attributes should characterize all who walk in the Spirit because he produces that fruit in their life, in your life, in our lives. In fact, this listing seems practically to define the nature of Christ. Christians, therefore, do not need the constraints of the law to make them possess these characteristics, for they are the fruit borne by the indwelling Spirit, like one orange with many wedges. So we have to, there's nothing we can do. The only thing we need to do is keep nurturing, watering, cultivating every day to keep our fruit healthy, keep our garden. God will grow the fruit, okay? But if we're going to quench or thirst the Holy Spirit, we're going to get dry land in our garden. We're going to get the roots, like, you know, they're going to start growing and festering and choking out things in our life. And then we're going to say, why is this happening? Because we're not doing our part.
When you first come in, the Lord, and you're on fire, and then a little compromise comes in little by little, and then you wonder why everything has changed after a while. You're like, I remember in the beginning.
Yeah. You know,
just got to protect it.
Yes, amen. So
keep
fruit.
Keep fire going.
Yes. It's our job to keep the fire going, okay? If God's not going to force us. So fruit is a product of living thing. The seed-bearing structure of a plant, seed after its own kind. So if you're planting love, God's love, you'll grow love in your own heart, okay? If you plant forgiveness, you grow forgiveness because you already have it. God's seed, it's all in that little seed. You have unlimited forgiveness in that little seed. Trees, there's a forest in one seed, you know? Because that seed grows more seeds and more seeds. So it's never ending. But the same thing can happen if you're planting the wrong seeds. So you want to make sure you're tending to your gardening. And you're allowed other people to speak into your life too.
A good example is the things that grow like in the canals and, and some of the stuff that's taken all our land over. Just a lot of that was brought in from other countries. It just kept growing and taking over. All the canals, all the things that grow on the bottom of them, those weren't even here before they were brought over. Now we got these lizards and the pythons. Is it python?
Mm-hmm.
Ones down south. Yeah, that's so just easy. The weeds can grow.
So you know what that reminds me of when you said that? The movie Nefarious, when he says, you humans made it, you like outthought me.
Yeah.
You know,
we didn't have to help with that one.
He said, the devil says to the guy, if you haven't seen that movie, you probably should. This is Nefarious. It's a really good movie. It really kind of gives you a good insight of how the enemy operates, the devil operates through people, you know, and what he's thinking. But he says that we've come up with some things that he didn't even come up with.
Yeah, he says, you added that one on. That movie, if you don't know about it, it was brought out. The guy that did God's Not Dead actually made that movie. Mm-hmm. But he put it out as a horror movie trying to get unsafe people to watch it. So,
and it is.
If you see the ad for it, it's like, it looks like a horror. But it has more gospel in that conversation. The guy's like possessed by a demon. He's on death row getting executed the next day. The psychiatrist, who don't believe in God, is interviewing him. And the psychiatrist acts like he's crazy. And the demon is just laying, you know, stuff that you could not even put out in a Christian movie. They would not let it go because they get into everything, transgender and homosexuality. Mm-hmm. They get into
abortion.
All that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I really liked that movie.
Yeah. Nefarious.
The anointing was very strong.
Very, very strong. Matter of fact, I saw it and then I called you. I called a couple of people. I'm like, you got to come on. And I saw it again. It was really good.
I saw it 8 times.
Yeah.
I can't keep taking other people. Yeah. You're like, man, I haven't felt this much anointing in years.
Amen.
Just sitting in that movie.
Yeah. So gifts are given, just a reminder, and fruit is grown by love. Good fruit or bad fruit, you love or hate, depending on what you're cultivating, right? And when we love, we're obedient, reverence, honoring, fear of the Lord, okay? So James and I had a little bit of a conversation about true fear of the Lord, okay? I know we say it's different, but it really is not that different when you have fear of the Lord, true fear of the Lord, because you definitely don't want to be against the Lord.
Yeah, you want to, I mean, if you're walking in obedience, there's nothing.
You don't have to worry about it, right?
Fear, but like walking in disobedience. And
that fear should come over you.
Yeah.
It should come over you. Like, oh my God, I'm out of line here. That's healthy. Okay.
But if you're repenting and you fall, that's different. That's, you know, he knows our temptations.
Amen. So we bear fruit, get results of what you plant. Okay. People can see it. All right. People that, you know, the discernment comes, the closer you are with God, the more you know him and his ways and his will and his plan and his purpose for your life. You know it for other people's lives because he wants the same thing for them too. And when you hear things that are going against it or you see things, that's the discernment. And it's not discernment's not so that I shut down and say, No, discernment's so that I can actually open up my heart and pray for the other person. Hallelujah. So a tree and its fruit, Matthew 7:15-20 says, beware of false prophets. There's where we have to know discernment. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. So when you taste and see how the Lord is so good to me first, tasting it with the Lord, then I know what it looks like, what it tastes like, what it smells like, and I should be able to discern when it's not it.
And a false prophet and let's just say someone very gifted and prophetic, two different things, but someone that can really move in the gift of prophecy, and a immature person in the gift can look very much alike. So be careful when you're judging too, if it's a false prophet or just someone that needs to grow and they're over an immaturity and going off or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. So, and what is the fruit? It's what we say, how we're thinking, how we're managing our life. You could see where people are. If you're doing what God's calling you to do and you're growing in those things, you could see when others are doing the same thing and when they're not. Okay? So the fruit of the Spirit is the glory and grace of God, hallelujah, that influences the character of those who love him, are obedient, to follow the word, to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to be character, image and likeness, our character, his character. We receive all the fruit of the Spirit at one time. It's all in us. When Jesus died for us, he gave us everything at the resurrection. It's all complete. There's nothing left out. Everything you have, you need to fulfill God's plan and purpose for in using you, you already have it. It's the revelation of you knowing you have it when you need it, okay?
And confessing it can bring it.
Yeah.
I mean, just like we've talked about people, amen, you know, confessing that you're delivered of smoking while you're smoking and you're getting delivered. The same with that. I praise you, Lord, that I am a patient man. Thank you for patience, Lord. Thank you that I am. Tom talks about that too.
Well, I believe in fake it till you make it. Sometimes you got to declare
just
things.
Speaking it over yourself, there's a supernatural aspect. We have what we speak. Just like when my shoulder, for 6 months, I'd kind of given up. But when it pop out a joint, every time I lower it down, it would hurt so bad. And I'd say, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Well, I kind of lost faith there because after about 3 months, it was so bad. But I had been saying it all along. My reaction, instead of going, ow, or something, right. Thank you that I'm healed.
Yeah.
And then one day it was just healed.
Amen. Amen. Totally. That's right. So, and that's probably the whole purpose, to condition you, for you to be conditioned in that, even through pain, because we're going to experience some things. And to be able to say thank you instead of ow is really a good gift. You know, a power of example.
Just speaking it, there's a supernatural power.
Amen. So we receive all the fruit of the Spirit at one time, his character, God's character. We're fully equipped, all right? As we submit, rely, and are obedient, like James was just talking to the Holy Spirit in the Word, in Jesus Christ, the character of God grows in us. And then even without his realizing it, it's like me too. I mean, I'm going to just use an example. Like I always say, praise the Lord or amen. And even when it's like somebody says something bad, I'm like, praise the Lord. Like, you know, like let's talk positive, you know, you know what I mean? It's like I bring God like right in. And it didn't just happen. It was something. I mean, I would have probably thought I was weird years ago. I'd be like, that lady's a little weird, you know, amen, praise the Lord, glory to God. You know, I've been like, I never thought in a million years I would be saying that, you know, as part of my vocabulary, just out of, you know, somebody says something, I'm like, praise the Lord, you know. So, and that's just because speaking it over, like being so grateful. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Hallelujah. John, see, there you go. Hallelujah. That's good news. So John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. That's such good news. So if we keep his commandments, keeping his commandments in our heart and knowing him, right? He loves us. Because his commandments are love. So they're manifesting. All his commandments are love. Every one of them. So his love makes you whole. Always and forever. He loves you no matter what. He loves you. And you are completely loved by him. You have all the love you'll ever. There's no one can give you any more love than God can give you. There's not more love anywhere in the world than what God already gave you when you said yes and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior and you stepped into the kingdom of God and you are his child. He loves you. There's nothing. There's not a person, place, thing, dollar that can give you any more love. So when you feel like you're unloved or you're looking for love, I'm telling you now, if you're not getting it in the confidence and the boldness of knowing that God loves you, then you're looking for it in the wrong places. Because nothing can beat him. Nothing can love you more than he loves you. So, and that is the greatest, one of the greatest revelations you can get. Because once you get that, you're not running around trying to get something from others, love, because that's what we were really missing our whole lives, his love, him in us. So the eternal or inward character fruit, the inner man, spiritual, is who we are. How we know love is how we know who we are in him, right? So let's talk about love. This is an unselfish love like that found in Jesus. So Jesus, his unconditional love for us. He died for us. He put his life down for us. All right, 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So, and it says, love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers everything. Love is the answer. So if ever you're in turmoil and you don't know how to handle a situation, if you can't act in love or if you can't think of something loving to say or do, then do nothing. Yield yourself back and wait upon the Lord, and he'll give you an opportunity to go back into some situation if he feels that that's necessary, and he'll give you a way to love through that. Okay? That's the only time we yield back, is when we don't know how to handle it. It's better to not press send. Right, James? Or have somebody else read it to you so you can hear it for really what it really says and not what you think it's saying. Don't speak the word. We call it restrain from pen and tongue in 12-step programs and in therapy. You know, don't say nothing. Don't write nothing. Don't send nothing. Just stay still. Be still and let God speak to you in that situation, because he's going to direct you in love. And if it's not coming from a love place, don't do it. Just don't. I had to call someone, and I could not call until I was fully convinced. I had to go to God. I couldn't even call a person to talk about it. And he made me write a list of things to stay focused on rather than feelings. So I was able to articulate what my questions were without getting personal, you know? And that was really good, because I can't allow my feelings to get in the way. I can't call out of anger. I can't call out of fear. All those things that want to come up, mm-hmm. you know, that I had a battle before I made the phone call. And I had to do it with God and get the direction, because I thought of calling you. I thought of calling past. I thought of calling people. Mm-hmm. But then that would only add fuel, I thought. You know, I felt like it would probably just be talking too much. And I needed to be still. So, and God teaches us that stuff. So that was a yielding for me, and I hope that helps somebody. And that's in the love. And we're going to go through joy and peace and all of them the next week. But I wanted to start there with love, because we'll probably talk about it again next week, because love is so wonderful. So wonderful, right? Yes. And love is spontaneous. He doesn't plan it. He'll give it to us in that moment. Sometimes we're shocked by love. We're like, what? Did I just, you know? Okay, so James, you want to pray? Or I know.
Anyone here listening wants to ask the Lord in their heart? You believe he died for your sins and rose the third day? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus. I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
I surrender to you.
And I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. We love you guys, and we thank you for listening. And just remember, you can always reach me at 631-745-7980 if you have prayer, if you want to talk. And you're listening to WCNO 89.9, Kingdom Recovery. And we're going to be talking the rest about the fruit of the Spirit next week. Shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. What else could spelling from the Savior's side.